Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome into the Wednesday edition of the Chase and Big Joe Show. Junie Riddle in for Chase McCabe until he returns from his trip to Las Vegas tomorrow. Big Joe is out on assignment doing his best impersonation of Spider-Man, staying with his Aunt May down in Florida. How are the milk and cookies, Big Joe?
They're fantastic, man. The aunt's always great, and she's always fun to talk to, and always gets all the food laid out. So it's perfect, man. So what's happening back in the Music City?
Man, I feel like we're getting new updates every single day that is just filling us with content. I mean, we started the week with the Kevin Byard trade yesterday. I mean, Vrabel might have had one of his spicier press conferences. And then we wake up this morning to the news from Ian Rappaport that he has sources within the Titans organization that are saying that Will Levis is going to be the primary starter for the Tennessee Titans when they play the Atlanta Falcons this weekend. Big Joe,
that's a shocker, right? So we knew this was going to happen the whole time because we had a small sample size for Malik Willis. It wasn't very good. And they got a little more sample size of him. It wasn't even any better. So why not go? Why not throw Levis out there and see what he does? What happens if Will Levis sets the world on fire? And I hope he does.
I sure hope he does too. I mean, I think he's gotten a bad rep from day one during the draft process. Rough last year at Kentucky with all their personnel and coaching turnovers and injuries he dealt with. And then getting drafted to Tennessee with a lot of Vols fans that, plain and simple, don't like him because he played for the University of Kentucky. It would be awesome to see him go out there and just light it up and prove all those naysayers wrong. So very interesting to see with what Will Levis has to offer against the Falcons this weekend. I am very much so looking forward to that. So another
thing. Let me ask you this. This is curious. Are Tennessee Volunteer fans – who are Tennessee Titan fans, are they upset that Will Levis could be a good quarterback? Is that something?
I think more or less, Tennessee had their best year in almost 2 decades. And the fact that their quarterback had such an elite year in the college game, I feel like they wanted them to go with the hometown kid with Hooker. And I think the disappointment of choosing the Kentucky quarterback over the UT quarterback, considering the discrepancy of play in college, that's where I think the frustration lies when it comes to Vols fans that are Titans fans.
I was just curious because I've heard them been talked about quite a bit, so I didn't know if that was a narrative that people wanted to put out there or not. But we'll see. Again, I hope he's massively successful on Sunday. I just hope he tears it apart.
I do as well. We also have Predators defenseman Tyson Barrie coming on at 9:30 to speak with us. The Preds fell to the Vancouver Canucks. A really good game last night in Bridgestone Arena, but they did end up losing 3-2 to fall to 3-4 on the season. We are also going to have John McClain coming up for 30 minutes at the top of the 10 o'clock hour, so we're going to get a lot of breakdown from the Titans and everything that's going on with them and the rest of the National Football League. So an absolute jam packed show today here on the Chase and Big Joe program. The big news of the day is Will Levis. And for me, Big Joe, I honestly think that this is kind of a blessing in disguise for this Titans team, Joe, and I'm going to tell you why. Because the reason the Titans have been winning this year, they're 2-4, and in those two wins, the primary focal point of this offense has been giving it to Derrick Henry. Let him go. He's a volume back. He gets better throughout the game. Sure, first half, 1 yard carry, 2 yard carry, maybe break one for 4 or 5 here and there. But eventually, he's going to let loose and break a big one. For me, I think if they go with the young, inexperienced quarterback like Will Levis, who's playing a system very similar to this, I think that's going to force their hand into going into with Derrick Henry and giving him a boatload of carries. I think that's a blessing in disguise for this team.
Well, so let me ask you this. So if he would have gone with, if they would have said Malik Willis is our starter, what I mean, what would the blowback have been for Vrabel? What, I mean, Ian Rappaport said they're going to split snaps, right? Is that what the report says?
Yeah, so Vrabel came out in his press conference yesterday and said if Tannehill is not able to go, he sees both quarterbacks getting reps. Now, with what Ian Rappaport is coming out and saying this morning, that yes, both quarterbacks are going to play, but Levis is going to be the focal point. He's going to be the starter. He's going to get majority of the reps, and Malik Willis, I think, is just going to get put in situationally and you know, maybe run the ball, maybe do some trickery, some using his mobility, and just trying to keep the Atlanta Falcons defense on their toes. So I think that majority, I would say 75 to 80% of the snaps are going to Will Levis based on the reports of what we're hearing.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, how Bill Parcells famously said, excuse me, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. So you've had 2 weeks to prepare. And, you know, in this talk about Levis didn't get any snaps in the preseason, yada, yada, yada. All right, he's only been on that team now. This is their eighth or ninth week, whatever. So he's practicing. He's been out there. The last 2 weeks, he's probably taken, you know, first-round snaps or first snaps with the starters, with the first team. So why not? Let him go out there and, you know, get it done. The Falcons aren't the greatest team in the world. So why not? Let him go out there, throw all the chips, have him be successful, and then Vrabel could come on next Monday and tell people to eat crow.
Dustin from Hopkinsville texted in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. He goes, OMG, I've been saying this is a blessing for Tannehill to get a soft tissue injury and get Levis out there. I see them going back to their roots and letting Henry grind it out to help Levis watch us win 70% of our games. This is Dustin from Hopkinsville as well. I mean, that would be great. I mean, I think that would be awesome. I think that's going to help you when it goes to, you know, going back to your identity and not trying to kind of force some passes and take the ball away from Henry and giving it to Tajay Spears. I think it is a blessing in disguise. Are you going to win 70% of your games? I think that there's other factors than just the offense that are going to prohibit that from happening, but I still think it's a step in the right direction.
I totally agree with you. And, you know, let's put the question out there today, and you guys are fantastic with the response. Are you happy with this decision? Is it Will Levis time? Do you not want to see Malik Willis again and go this way? I think it'll be overwhelming. Like, let's go. Let's pony up. Let's go. Let's ride with Will Levis and see what he's got. I mean, you traded up to get him. Willis is not your guy from last year. So why not? You know, and then you still got Henry. You got Hopkins around there. Maybe Burks can come back when he's not injured, which is all the time. And get the tight ends involved. You're at home. You get the Oilers throwbacks on Sunday. Just go with it, man. So that's our question. 615-737-1025. Are you on board? Are you good to go with this? And tell us why.
So Jeff on the text line, Jeff from Hendersonville, says, going back to our comments about how UT fans don't like Will Levis, he goes, that ain't it. It's the mirror selfies. It's the banana peels. It's the mayo and the coffee. I didn't want to draft Hooker because he's older and he tore his ACL, but he's basically saying he doesn't like Levis because of Levis's kind of goofy personality.
It's personal. Look, go back to Jim McMahon for the Bears. That guy was 87 times worse than Will Levis.
He just didn't have the social media to do it.
Right. But he also had the greatest defense of the 85 Bears. But before that, in college, and a couple of years before the Bears really took off, he was worse than Will Levis. But he was a winner, and he got a chance to prove himself as a winner. So why not? You got to start somewhere. Let's go for it. So it's personal. That's what it is. It's personal about Will Levis. Got it.
Another thing about this that I find really intriguing, Big Joe, is that Mike Vrabel in the regular season is 5-0. After the bye week. That's another aspect of this. Not only are they getting healthy at the right time, getting a Treylon Burks back, you know, to this date, I know there's been a bunch of rumors flying around the last couple days about DeAndre Hopkins, Derrick Henry possibly being on the trading block. But, you know, I think that if they do have a full arsenal of guys at Will Levis's disposal, that's only going to help him in his debut. We're getting some more text here. 1403 says, unpopular opinion, get Tannehill back. in there, Tana Goat in there as fast as possible to hopefully light a spark and get us back into the playoffs. Yeah, Tana Goat has 2 touchdowns and 6 picks on the year with how this year
does
is
he
going.
Really? Wait, are those his stats really?
Yeah, 2 touchdowns and 6 interceptions on the year so far for the Tana Goat.
Wow, okay. I probably should pay you. I thought it was maybe I don't know what I thought it was. I apologize.
He's like 30th in QBR this year, Joe. Like it's not been good. No. And again, is it all Tannehill's fault? No, it's not. I don't think anybody conceivably who watches the Titans on a week-to-week base thinks that this is all Tannehill's fault. But the problem is Tannehill doesn't have the talent to elevate this team above what they are with the pieces around him. This team isn't built for Ryan Tannehill. When he came in 2019 and 2020, it was, but it's not anymore.
He's 30th in what?
He's 30th in QBR.
I'm number one in PBR. So take that, Ryan Tannehill. That's a little funny. Come on. It's my birthday.
Is it really?
Yeah, yes, it is.
Birthday. Oh, happy birthday, Big Joe. How old are we?
So give me courtesy laughs today. That's what I need. I need courtesy laughs.
Somebody get some audio on there, Frazier. Get some laughter. Every time Big Joe cracks a joke, we got to have a whole audience of laughter. But you're laughing
My aunt's asleep. She was watching Matlock, so she's not going to be up to like 1 to make me lunch. So I'm good. So it's bad. So feel the love and the courtesy laughs today.
So Ben on the text line said, yesterday Jared said he knows somebody in the league that says the Titans will be sold because their value is higher with a new stadium being built. Do you all know anything about that? Ben, I don't think that's legit.
But Jared knows somebody in the league.
Maybe. Until something really comes out about that, I'm not buying into it. I think the Adams family has been ingrained into this franchise. I don't see anything like that.
Okay. Good job. I'm with you. We'll see. But you know what? Money talks.
Drew on the text line talking about Levis here. He says, based on the performance Sunday, it is the future to see if Levis can carry the team. What do you think about that, Joe? Let's go for it.
Will they saddle up, whatever? Let's ride, pony up, whatever they call it. Let's go.
I think it's time. I mean, I think it's time. And I want to get to this next with you, Big Joe. Based off of Will Levis's performance, do you go back to Ryan Tannehill when he gets healthy? 615-737-1025. This has been the Chase and Big Joe Show. Junior Riddle in for Chase McCabe. On the other side of this, what do you want to see from Will Levis, and what does he have to do for the Titans to not go back to Ryan Tannehill? We're going to get to that next. Jason Big Joe Show, Junior Riddle in for Chase McCabe here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear you. Happy birthday to you, yeah.
Woo. That's Jack Black singing happy birthday for Big Joe's birthday. Big Joe down in Florida being Spider-Man, visiting Aunt May.
Jack Black's a dear friend, so thank you, Jack.
I can see you all being very good friends. I
mean, oh, we're very good friends.
Very similar.
We're the best of friends.
Personality traits. I feel like go hand in hand.
Right.
Either way, back to the conversation here. Before the break, we're asking about what does Will Levis have to do this weekend in order for the Titans to stick with him for the rest of the season. It obviously seems as if this organization is moving towards the future. Josh has a really good text on the text line written by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. He goes, I wonder if the conversation that Rand Carthon, Mike Vrabel, and Ryan Tannehill had this offseason about where – quote unquote, Ryan knows where he stands with us, was something along the lines of, hey, if you go down with injury, we're looking for the future. And so this is Josh from Columbia. What do you think about that, Big Joe?
That's a great point. I mean, the conversations they had, it's like, this is, you know, we get to the playoffs and you show us what you got this year or not. And I mean, was that it? I mean, that should be the conversation with most guys. It's like, show us what you got this year. This is a pivotal year and see how you get it done. And we'll go forward from there. And your resume will be how you played this year. And if Tannehill's down again, then that's it. I mean, he's got to know. I mean, it's, you know, it's the old saying of a baseball manager. There are two coaches in baseball, you know, one that's been fired, one that's going to get fired. In football, your quarterback, at some point, you're going to get replaced. And you got to know this. And these are grown men. I mean, they have millions of dollars. They know this. So, yeah, that's probably a lot of conversations. And but I think that was more one set of Mike Vrabel and instead of Mike Vrabel and Carthon, more Mike Vrabel and Tannehill.
So, Joe, what are your thoughts about Titans fans that you know, they're Tannehill defenders consistently, and they're always blaming the offensive line and the receivers for not creating separation and doing all this to blame for why the results are what they are? Like, what do you have to say to Titans fans that are consistently putting it on the rest of the offense rather than the quarterback, Ryan Tannehill?
Well, if he never plays another down, he goes down as the number two greatest quarterback in Titans history since they moved here in 99 and became the Titans. When he came in 2019, Marcus Mariota had one of the worst quarterback games against Denver I'd ever seen. Awful. He was a terrible quarterback. And Tannehill came in and rallied this team, got him the AFC Championship game, got him a number one seed, but it couldn't go any you know farther than that, and that's okay. And they defend him because he brought, you know, he took him to that promised land almost again. And he's going to have people who defend him. But the problem is, like that Chargers game, Junie, you saw how great his deep ball was to Burks and to Chris Moore. I mean, he's got a great deep ball. He throws the ball fantastic. But where's the other part of the game? It's not consistent enough. And I get it. But, you know, people are going to be beloved with him, and that's fine. I totally understand.
Yeah, and again, the games that he looked really good in, what was the outlier? Again, in that Chargers game, every single team the Chargers have played, opposing quarterbacks have had their best day. I mean, this passing defense for the Chargers is god-awful. I mean, they're terrible. Yeah. He had his best game of the year against the worst pass defense in the league. And then we go back to the Bengals game. Do we really think Tannehill was the reason for their win against the Bengals? I would say not. I think the front seven being all over Joe Burrow and not allowing that offense to get anything going outside of their first drive, and the fact that Derrick Henry looked like Derrick Henry in that game.
Right.
I think that was the difference. I mean, really, when you look at it, I just feel like the quarterback, even in bad situations with bad offensive lines, you have to be able to carry your team a little bit better. And, you know, I saw a game earlier this year between the Houston Texans and Pittsburgh Steelers. And in that game, everybody thought the Steelers were going to annihilate the Houston Texans and C.J. Stroud. I mean, Tomlin has a great record against rookie quarterbacks. The Texans, they have a bunch of offensive linemen that they're paying, and they were all out. I mean, 4 out of 5 offensive linemen were out, and they were dealing with a bunch of practice squad and backup players. And C.J. Stroud threw for over 300 yards and had multiple touchdowns. At a certain point, you have to rely on the most important position on the field to be able to make something out of nothing. And I feel like if your veteran quarterback who's in his 30s and has been banged up the last couple of years can't do that, it's time to move on for the future.
Is Vrabel speaking? Is he done speaking for the week? Does he speak after? I don't know what I know what they used to do.
Now, Frazier, correct me if I'm wrong. He speaks at 11 again today, right?
I believe so.
So that's what they were saying on Robbie and Rusher. I am not 100% sure on that. Can you double check that for me, Frazier, and come back and confirm? But I think he is speaking to the media today. So with all of this news about Will Levis hitting the big national insiders, it'll be interesting to see what our local media will ask Vrabel and what kind of answers we will get from that.
Ian Rappaport, what was his tweet exactly? I'm going to try to pull it up here. Has a source within, or is that what it said?
Let me see.
It said sources.
He goes, sources. The Titans are preparing rookie QB Will Levis to start on Sunday as the second rounder should make his NFL debut with Ryan Tannehill likely out. Coach Mike Vrabel said both Levis and Malik Willis would play, but Levis is expected to be the primary QB. Now, Frazier, I don't know if you have this queued up, but Ian Rappaport did go on, and we had this clip for Robbie and Rex Road, and he went on and spoke to NFL Network about this, and I'd like to hear that when you get a chance. But your thoughts on that, Joe?
So sources, is that both sides of Brabel's mouth? Is that where you got that from?
I don't know. Okay, here we got Ian Rappaport now. Let's hear from Ian Rappaport from this morning.
My understanding is the Tennessee Titans are preparing to start Will Levis this Sunday's game against the Atlanta Falcons. The second round pick is expected to make his NFL debut, and when he does, based on the sources I've spoken with, he should be the primary signal caller. Now, Mike Vrabel, the head coach, said with Ryan Tannehill likely out dealing with a high ankle sprain, both Malik Willis and Will Levis should play on Sunday. I have no doubt about that. But my understanding is Levis should be the primary signal caller. I know a lot of interest in Levis, and a lot of people thought he was going to be a first-rounder. Very talented passer from Kentucky. Should get a lot of him this Sunday against the Falcons.
So there you go. He's saying that he has sources. Again, did he specifically say within the Titans organization? He did not. But he said sources are telling him that Levis is going to be the primary starter and get majority of the snaps.
And I guess Rabel's like, well, we got packages. We'll put both of them in there and do this and that. And we have packages ready for this and for all that. I mean, that's the same old speak. Just say Levis going to start. We'll go with it. We're going to saddle up on Sunday. Let's go win a ball game. I'd have more respect if you came out and just said that instead of, you know, trying to go off on the reporters at your press conference, which you try to control every day to do all that. So let's go out and say, I mean, he was a bit snippy yesterday, which I loved. I love when they make him feel uncomfortable. He knows, I mean, he asked for it and he gets it. So good. But just run Will Levis on Sunday and go with it. Boom. Overdone.
Ben on the text line says, Ryan just isn't good enough often enough. Even when the team was better, he still didn't show up in certain moments. I mean, flat out. I mean, that's the narrative that we're talking about. And now that I would say the rate of really good games for Ryan Tannehill has just slowly and subtly decreased, you know, since the beginning of last year. The years with A.J. Brown and a really good offensive line and Derrick Henry at his peak, I mean that's everything a quarterback could ask for. Number one receiver, right. Best back in the league, top three, top five offensive line easily. This isn't that team anymore. And it's like,
think about that. That line of 2019, you had Conklin, Saffold, Ben Jones, LaJuan, and I'm leaving the left guard out. I forget who it was.
Maybe
the left guard was Saffold.
Nate Davis.
Yeah, Nate Davis, right Nate guard. Davis. There you go. That's a great, I mean, that is a fantastic offensive line. And now you've got an offensive line that, you know, couldn't block Meg's middle school. It's just, I don't know. I know. Well, hey, later on, I was on the plane. I didn't hear the part with Vrabel and Jared. Can we play that later on?
Yeah, we will get to that a little bit later. Let's save that for 9:45, Big Joe, because coming up next, we have Predators defenseman Tyson Barrie joining us. He's going to he's going to talk to us about the loss last night, where this team is going, Andrew Burnett coming in as coach, and we're going to sit with Tyson Barrie and see where he is at and where this Predators team is at after a big game last night. They got the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are red hot, coming into Bridgestone Arena this weekend, so it'll be a good opportunity for the Preds to bounce back. But before we go to break, make your silly underdog picks for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can play at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app as we approach week 9 of college football and week 8 of the NFL. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show. Junior Rollin for Chase McCabe here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Welcome back into the Chase and Big Joe Show. Junior Riddle in for Chase McCabe. The Chase McCabe and Big Joe Show is brought to you by Regal Realty. We are now joined by Nashville Predators defenseman Tyson Barrie. Tyson, welcome into the show. Thank you for taking the time to join us this morning.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. No problem.
Absolutely. Last night, you all fell 3-2 to the Vancouver Canucks. It was a very tough, hard-fought game. A lot of movement up and down the ice. Y'all had a ton of opportunities at chances to score some goals. It just didn't fall your way. What was that game like last night? Because I felt like there was a lot of moving parts. But tell me about last night and how y'all can bounce back against the Maple Leafs this upcoming Saturday with some rest.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to give the Canucks credit. They came in and played a fast, tight checking game, and you know, they sustained a lot of ozone time on us. And you know, I thought the first two periods they kind of took it to us a little bit. We had a couple timely goals that kept us in it, but you know, I thought we played a better third period and had some chances to tie it up. But yeah, I you know, it's part of the game, and we've got a good Maple Leafs team coming in here Saturday, so we're gonna have to reset and, you know, go over some details and make some adjustments, and then get ready for a good team on Saturday.
Now, Tyson, you're known as being one of the better offensive defensemen in the NHL, and you're a big part of this team's power play. Talk to me about the improvement that you have seen from the power play from when you got traded here from Edmonton last year to now being under head coach Andrew Brunette in the beginning phases of this season.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're still, you know, moving some pieces around and trying to get that thing clicking, you know, how we want it to. And, you know, I've been a part of a lot of different power plays over the years, and it's something you just kind of have to be patient with and stick with it. And, you know, you go through slumps, you go through highs, and, you know, it's just the time and score when you get those big power play goals. And that's something I think we can actually improve on, is just there's moments in games where you get a big power play and you need to make it count. So, we've got some work to do on the power play still. I think it's going to be a big part of our success this year. So I'm sure we'll be working on that today.
We're talking to Tyson Barrie, Nashville Predators. Tyson, last year you spent almost the entire year with the Oilers. In late February, you get traded to Nashville. We've been talking a lot about trades this week because of the football trade in town. What was that like for you? Did you know that was coming? Did you have any idea? And how were you informed?
No, I didn't know it was coming. It's always a possibility. It's, you know, kind of part of the lifestyle, but, I didn't think I was on the move. And then, our GM in Edmonton called and kind of broke it to me. And at first, you know, you're a little bit in shock, and then you got to break it to the family. And then things start happening pretty quickly. You know, I was packed up and out of there the next morning to go join the team down in Florida. And then, you know, my wife and family are still in Edmonton, kind of picking up the pieces, getting everything organized and ready to move. So there's a lot of moving parts when you get traded midseason, and it's not the easiest thing to do. I wouldn't exactly recommend it, but you know, I'm glad I landed in Nashville, and what a spot to play hockey. And if you're going to move anywhere, this is a great spot to be.
I got to think, when you go in the locker room, it's not like you don't know those other guys. I mean, you've played against them. So I guess the transition is pretty simple, because, Tyson, you got to go out and play immediately. Does that help instead of not sitting around for a week or two?
Yeah, I think it does help. I think I was on a plane the next day and then played in Florida that night. So, yeah, and then I've been in the league a while now, so I knew a couple of the guys in the room, and that makes it easier. And had a couple buddies on the team to kind of fill me in on the program they're running here. And yeah, that definitely softens it. And then not having to sit around and wait, we were just right into the fire the next night. So no time to really think about it.
We're talking to Predators defenseman Tyson Barrie. Now, Tyson, a lot of Predators fans here in Smashville are excited about this team. That, you know, the identity of the team moved from more of a conservative kind of playing within your means to now they have taken such a much younger approach and playing a lot of young guys, and it seems to be more fun and fast paced and offensive centric. What do you see with the potential of this team this year, and what is this team's ultimate goal?
Yeah, I think our style of play is, you know, we obviously have a great goaltender and a good defensive core, and but then we also have some young guys who can fly. And I think we're going to play a little bit of a stingy game, but a fast game. We're going to try to transition the puck really quickly and put teams on their heels. And I think we've done a good job of it at times this year, and you can see the success we've had in certain games. And you know, as far as our goals for this year, we want to be a playoff team, and we're going to be right in the mix, and we're going to be fighting for it all year. You know, we know nothing's given, and we're going to be a team that's going to have to work for everything we get. So it's going to be a dogfight all year, but we want to, you know, when game 82 is over, we want to be a team that's in that playoff spot. And then, you know, once you get in there, anything can happen. So that's certainly our goal for this year.
Final one for you here, Tyson. What is it like playing with some other elite defensemen in Captain Roman Josi, and also a guy that has won a couple cups and been a major part of that down in Tampa when we speak about Ryan McDonough? What is it like being able to play with some of these guys and being a part of a newer team, but with guys that have also come in that have some championship caliber experience?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Roman's one of the best defensemen, you know, in the last decade to play. And, you know, it's a pleasure getting to get to know him a lot. And, you know, I'm still, you know I've been in the league a long time, but I'm still learning a lot and trying to pick up on little things that he does to kind of add into my game to make myself a little more dangerous. And he's such a great leader. And obviously so is Mac. He's been in the trenches for a lot of years. He's won some cups and deep playoff runs have been a big part of it. And you can just see the way he plays. He's a warrior and he'll do anything to win. So there's stuff I got to, you know, learn from him too, and the mindset. And it's a pleasure to be able to get together on the blue line with those guys every game and, you know, great players and great people.
Absolutely. Tyson, appreciate the time. Thank you for spending it, and best of luck with you and the Nashville Predators for the rest of the season.
Oh, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. That's Tyson Barry, Predators defenseman. They came off a tough loss last night. I mean, the team battled their tails off. Vancouver just came out being the more aggressive team. But, I mean, the Preds last night, if you caught the game, they had so many chances at shots on the goal. You know, tip the hat to the Vancouver Canucks goaltender, because he was making some incredible saves last night to kind of give his team the win. But the Preds are going to get a couple days off here. Their next outing is going to be at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday against the Maple Leafs. So the Canucks kind of came in well rested, had a few days off on their road trip, and now the Preds are going to get a few days of some good well rest as they've been playing kind of every other night to really start this season off. So it'll be interesting to see where they go. Did you catch any of that game last night, Big Joe?
I did not, man. I did not, and I apologize, but I did catch up. I read about it and saw everything, and that's just – it's tough. I mean, you want to win that game, and you lose by a goal, and it's just – you know, that's the thing. You don't have to wait 7 days. Normally, in hockey, you get back out there in 48 hours and go again. So they'll be back out there.
So the way I would describe that game last night, Big Joe, was both teams were moving up and down the ice. It's kind of like in football. When you got two offenses that are moving up and down the field – but each defense just has a bend, don't break mentality. And once you get into that offensive ozone, I mean, they were the forecheck by the defense was amazing, trying to get the offense out of bad situations. That's what that game was. I mean, it was high octane, up and down, moving the ice, getting a lot of opportunities, but the defense did withhold strong, so it was a tough loss for the Nashville Predators. So appreciate Tyson Barry for coming out and being with us this morning. But we got some big news with the Titans. We got some big news with Ian Rappaport talking about Will Levis being inserted as the primary quarterback. Vrabel came out in his press conference yesterday saying that if Tannehill cannot go, that both quarterbacks, Levis and Willis, were going to get opportunities to play in the game on Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons. So we're going to get back into that. But an interesting little back and forth went down in Mike Vrabel's press conference, and Big Joe wants to get into that next with our own Jared Stillman and his beef with Mike Vrabel. So we're going to play some of that audio coming up next and get into our thoughts about that. Chase and Big Joe, Junior Riddle in for Chase McCabe here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
Mike, you made a comment during all that that's kind of getting parsed here, talking about
who's parsing it, Gentry. Well, then ask the question, Jared.
What question? When you said that other organizations don't do things as well as the Patriots, and that you know because you've been there, were you referring to this organization?
They've won six Super Bowls. They won six Super Bowls in 20 years. That's what I was alluding to. You know what I mean? I don't know what to tell you. Like, It's just extremely, you know, a lot of success. And, you know, and I guess just probably having talked to, you know, Bill and, you know, Mr. Kraft and the coaches I know they're on staff, I guess that was just my way of, you know, bringing them good luck on Sunday. No, I mean, that just the amount of success that they had there, that was the whole message was just for myself and the former players and everything, just to not take things for granted. Just the because, you know, I got traded myself and went to a, you know, a team that went 6-10. And it was like, you know, where you're just trying to find ways to win other than knowing that you're going to win when you show up. It was my whole intent of saying that, you know, they've had it pretty good there for 20 years, and 6 Super Bowls and however many else they went to.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday answering Jared's question about his comments when during the Titans bye week he went and got inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame. I mean, plain and simple, Big Joe, this was our topic all day on Monday.
But it was no big deal, right? Nobody cared about it. I thought he got into it. Did he get into it with Jared?
Yeah. So that was the first half of it there. So he continues and goes on, and he kind of makes it personal with Jared. Here's that clip right now.
That was it, Jared. So appreciate you. You'll never think like me, Jared. We're nothing alike. So you'll. I'm not. I'm the dumbest person in here. I promise you. I guarantee you I'm the dumbest person in here. But we will never think alike in anything that we do. So if you ever want to think how I'm thinking, just think the opposite. think like a dude. Think like an athlete. Think like a grown man. And then you'll think how I'm thinking.
Think like a dude. Think like a dude. Man. Think like an athlete. Think like a grown man, and you'll think how I'm thinking.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, that's got to be played around the clock. We got to get with the big boss man and have that. Good job on Jared. What great promotion for Jared's show. That is fantastic.
I mean, we were sitting there beating Terry's. And I could not stop laughing. I could not believe he took it to that extreme, but – you know, just to go back to the question, Big Joe. I mean, how can you not sit here and think that there was some kind of subtleties? And again, if there was no context that could be drawn back to the Titans, I could get what he's saying. But the thing about it is the reason the Titans are in this position right now is because they went out and they got players on the discount rack. They went out and got backups who are looking to get an opportunity to start. They went on the cheap. They didn't go out and get expensive guys that could go and help them win now, even though, quote unquote, they are in win now mode. I found it hilarious. He took it so personal that it makes me feel even stronger about my take that he was throwing some subtle shade.
Dude, you just said discount rack, and I'm about to. That is fantastic. The discount rack. I mean, that's, you know, it's – all right, there's an example. Right, when Butch Jones was in Knoxville 2017, when he knew he lost the team halfway through the season, he started blaming the local media for putting rumors out there and pitting player versus player, player versus coach, coach versus coach, and basically went out the media. And – I remember at the time, Junie, I was like, oh, this is not – I was just doing it live. I was like, this is not good. And the consensus from a lot of writers that day, people covering the team, was like, he's done. I'm not saying it's to that extreme. Not at all. But it's kind of like dipping your toe in the water just a tad bit, and now you're going off on a radio guy because he asked some tough questions, which are valid questions despite what Robbie and Rex Road say. I just think that is it's fantastic, man. Sorry, it's fantastic.
I just go back to the point. If the Titans were 4-2 instead of 2-4, those comments mean nothing to me. I mean, they mean absolutely nothing. But when you see the direction of the franchise, you see where they went in the offseason, you see what their personnel is looking like, you see the morale, you see, you know, the fan base wanting to go and let some of these veteran players go, it just seems to me, it's like, how can you not kind of take it that way when the state of your current employment is right. What it is? I mean, you just lobbed it up for the media, and then you expect us just to you know, close a blind eye to it. I don't know. I don't know, Big Joe. I don't know what Vrabel was thinking when he said that, thinking that that, you know, us media members here in Nashville wouldn't think of what he was saying to the Patriots right. organization.
Now, somebody had a good point yesterday, because I was like, why is it Rand Carthon talking? And somebody said, well, I've never seen a GM midseason over a trade come out and talk. And I get that. There are a few that do that. I mean, I was like, maybe he'll come out and say why they did that. I don't know. It was telling that the fact that Carthon did not come out and speak to the media or set something up, that's probably nothing. I get that. But as a GM, if you truly are the general manager of this football team, would you not want to come out and say, hey, here's why we did this. Here's what Mike Vrabel's saying. Here's what I'm saying. Would you not want to – I don't – am I wrong about this? Don't you want to tell the world that you are the GM?
No, I mean, I definitely agree, and we're getting some agreement on the text line as well. Dustin from Hopkinsville says, dude, you guys are on my wavelength. I text this morning to Robbie and Joe. So I know Vrabel is a narcissist. When narcissistic people get made fun of a little, they gaslight and start degrading. Still just asking questions from a situation Vrabel created. We have to agree, Vrabel's a narcissist. Is Vrabel a narcissist? I wouldn't go to that extent.
No, I think he used that when you talk about evil people. I don't think Mike Vrabel has one evil bone in his body. Thank you for the text, but I just think we throw that word around so much now when we disagree with somebody who, you know, we really disagree with them. Well, he's a narcissist and, you know, he only wants – no. At the end of the day, I truly believe Mike Vrabel wants to win football games, wants to win the Super Bowl, wants the best for that franchise. I truly believe that. And if your head coach doesn't, then why is he your head coach? I firmly believe he wants all that. But just come out, you know, and say, look, we're going to start Will Levis. We're going to be powerful about it. Have some conviction. We're going to start Will Levis. We're going to rally behind him. We need y'all support on Sunday. Let's get this done. And all the cloak and dagger stuff. Now's the time to rally the fan base. You're 2-4. Tell the fans you need them on Sunday. Here's what we're going to do, and let's go. Why can't you do that? Is that too hard?
Yeah. I mean, yesterday almost kind of seemed like a funeral. The way Derrick Henry came out, the way Imani Hooker came out. I mean, it felt like somebody passed away, Joe. I mean, that was the morale. You could have spun that and used that as a way to motivate your fans and motivate your team. And I just felt like they did completely the opposite. They sucked the air completely out of the room and all the energy. I didn't feel it. I felt like after the whole Kevin Byard trade and kind of the comments towards that, I feel like it's plain and obvious that it seems as if they're trying to move in a direction that they should have moved towards this offseason if they were going to go into it. Being 2-4 in the middle of the season and making a move like that, I just don't think is a winning mentality move. I don't know. Do you agree with that?
I agree. I agree. But again, let's go out Sunday. Let's tailor that game plan around him. Let's do a lot of Derrick Henry. Let's do a lot of short pass. That's a lot of confidence. We call those confident passes, you know, the 4- and 5-yard passes or whatever. Just don't be fancy. Get the ball down the field, rally that defense together, and see what happens. I mean, look, I want Will Levis to come out and just set the world on fire, because then that question about a quarterback is done for years. Years. It's done. So I hope he can come out on Sunday. And I just know I'm not in the locker room. I'm not at practice every day. But, you know, you see what you see. Malik Willis is so not the answer. And now it's Will Levis time.
It is Will Levis time. Last one here. Mike on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHotDay.com. Vrabel doesn't like tough questions. How will he handle being being with the Patriots media when he becomes their coach inevitably?
So they'll give him a pass because he's He's a former Patriots player.
Oh, no. They're not. The Boston media is going to give him a pass for what he did 20 years ago? There's no way. They're calling for Bill Belichick's head right now.
I don't know, man.
They're putting Bill Belichick's head on a stake. If you ever tune into Boston radio, the things that they're saying about Bill Belichick, one of the most winning head coaches of all time, isn't he right behind Don Shula? Isn't that who he's trying to catch at the moment?
Yep.
I mean, outside of that, I mean, and he won of a hell of a lot more than Don Shula when it comes to playoffs and Super Bowls, of course. So I kind of include that when I say he's the most winning coach of all time. If they're calling for his head, they will call for Mike Vrabel's head.
He'll have a grace period for a long time.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
We will see, buddy.
Either way, really exciting this weekend, turning it over to Will Levis, see what the young rookie has. Coming up next, my favorite part of this show on a weekly basis, we got John McClain coming in, Houston media member for so long. He's going to give us the updates on what he has seen from the Titans, the AFC South, the NFL in whole. We're going to have him for the next 30 minutes to kick off the 10 o'clock hour. You're listening to the Chase and Big Joe Show. Junior Riddle in for Chase McCabe here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.